You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev, the number one Chevrolet dealer in Canada since 2015, based on Dealer Raider's customer review site. Stop in, say hi. Right now, 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles. That's Lakewood Chev. The Eskimos continue to have their injuries mounting across the board, as every position on the field, excluding quarterback, has been touched by an injury. They had to bring in more recruits, running back, long snappers, as it just piles right up. Joined by the general manager of the Eskimos, Brock Sutherland. Well, Brock, definitely you're ecstatic about, I think, the record of your team. Probably not enamored by the fact you've had so many injuries, and forcing you and Paul Jones to maybe dig a little bit deeper in the Rolodex earlier in the season than you expected.
Yeah, you certainly don't anticipate this amount of injuries at any time during the season, but especially after just five games. But that is part of the game. People get hurt. We know going into the year that that happens, so we have ready list available to us, and that's why we do the preparation and do all the scouting, is for reasons like this. So it's disappointing, but that is football, and every team deals with it. So there's not going to be any excuses here, and our standards and our expectations aren't going to change at all.
Now, the roster has to be set tomorrow, and just based on practices, Sean White and Ryan King, you're not expecting to be available on Friday?
Well, we're not going to get into details of who will or who won't be there at this point. We're evaluating everybody right now, and you know, we'll see. And actually, the rosters don't have to be set until 24 hours before the game. So not tomorrow, actually.
Oh, so you know that changed, the 48 hours before is now to 24? Okay. Now you could obviously have the guys on the roster. You can take somebody off at any point if there's a late injury or not. But with, you know, you just brought in, I guess, tell us a little bit about the acquisitions you brought in today and why.
Well, we've brought in several. Do you have any specific guys you're curious about?
The newest running back.
Yeah, Marion Grice is his name. He was at Arizona State. He led the nation in touchdowns in, I believe, 2011 or 2012. So he's a productive guy. He's a bigger back, so he's a little bit different than the guys that we've been playing with, which is okay. But he catches the ball out of the backfield really well. He's a strong runner between the tackles. He's got a gliding running style, so he's very smooth. He's kind of one of those guys that it doesn't look like he's explosive, and then the next thing you know is 60 yards downfield and running past people. So he was drafted by the Chargers, I believe, sixth round, and then he was with the Cardinals, was active for a couple games in the NFL and had about a 30-yard touchdown run at that level. So he was here for camp for a little bit, and when we broke camp, we ended up keeping the three other guys, but it was between him and a couple other guys. It was very, very close, and we told him when he left, stay in shape, because if something happens, we're going to call you, and something happened, and we called him.
You also brought in Rakeem Yates, the defensive end from Nevada, 6'2", 280 pounds. You released Devontae Fields and Antonio Longino, the linebacker. I guess so. What is it about Yates that intrigues you to the point that you decided to release Fields?
Well, he's got a high motor, first and foremost. He's been up here in the system already. He's with us at minicamp in Vegas and all through training camp. Very good on special teams. A lot of upside. He's quick-twitched. And again, his motor never stops. He'll make hustle plays. And with Fields, and I'll say this now, he actually got hurt yesterday at practice. So That wasn't a situation where, again, someone's got a voodoo doll out there with us somehow, some way, because Devontae was on the field for literally 5 minutes and had a significant injury. So was barely through individual. So for some reason, that's kind of the year we're having. And you address it, you move forward, you find other guys, and our coaches are doing an outstanding job of coaching everybody up. And you need to tip the hat to our entire locker room, because everybody's staying ready. And the only silver lining in all this is that it's making everybody here realize that we have full confidence in them, and the next guy up really is going to be given that opportunity, and we're going to play with the people we have because we believe in them.
Now, Brock, how all these injuries, how much of a strain does it put on the salary cap?
Well, you have to juggle it a lot. It depends what the injury is. If it's a one game, that counts against the cap. If it's a season-long injury, or if it's going to be anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, usually what you do is you put players on a six-game injured list, which doesn't hit the cap. So, you know, sometimes it actually makes room, which you never want it to happen that way. But it depends on the significance of the injury and where we allocate those players.
So let's say you have you know, so many players on the sixth game as you do right now. And then a lot of them stick on there. And so they don't count against the cap at that point. Can you have, for instance, 20 guys on the sixth game that don't necessarily count against your salary cap, but obviously, you know, they're still getting paid. So the team still has to pay them. Is there like an internal cap? Does that come into play at all? Or because the Eskimos are one of the more financially stable organizations, that as long as you adhere to the league-wide salary cap, it does, you know, your organization's financially set, even if you have to go significantly over?
Yeah, I don't think this is the format to get into what budgets are or aren't within our organization, you know, but we're cognizant of it. I mean, I'll say this, we're not putting players on the sixth game right now to save on the cap. These are legit injuries and they're unfortunate. So the way I'll answer that is to say that we're not using the sixth game injured as a dumping ground to save salary by any means.
Do you expect any of those guys, of Bowman, Chambers, Greenwood, Hightower, Hunt, Kelly, Konar, Lawrence, Rotier, Sherritt, Blair, White, and Young, any of them possibly come off it early?
Well, you know, we're not sure right now. Marcus Howard did. He came off early because he healed up a little quicker than we thought. We had a need there. So some of these guys, the soft tissue injuries are difficult, not speaking just specifically to these players, but anytime you have a soft tissue injury, if it's a hamstring or one of those things, it's kind of everybody's different. So it's hard to gauge where they're at. You know, some of these injuries, we say they can start running at 4 weeks, and that means that they can attempt to run at 80 to 85%. So you kind of gauge it and say, if it's a wide receiver, are they going to be full go at 6 weeks? You really don't know because everybody's body handles it differently. So that's the balancing act that we have to determine is, if it's a five-week injury, does that mean it's actually 5 weeks or is it 7 weeks, depending on who the guy is, what his past injury history is, and how his body heals?
General Manager of the Eskimos, Brock Sunderland, joins us. So John White, J.C. Sherritt, and Corey Greenwood, we know are season-ending injuries. Is there anybody else on that sixth game you don't expect to return this season?
We're still evaluating. Right now, there's no one on there that we're ruling out for a return. We're taking it day by day and letting our doctors and medical staff, who they're keeping very busy. I give Nate, I bust his chops all the time and say, well, at least you're not bored this year. So, you know, we're evaluating guys day-to-day and week-to-week, so we're hopeful that they can all return at some point. A few of those guys are on that borderline where they might return, and I won't give any names out right now just to keep that in-house at this time.
Okay, well, the one guy I see practicing really hard lately has been Colin Kelly, so he looks like he definitely will be back at some point this season on the O-line. We've talked about bringing in Marion Grice. You also have Ladarius Perkins. And so if Trayvon Van can go on Friday, it's going to be one of those two. Perkins has been here the longest. Very different, smaller back at 5'8", 205 compared to Grice, who's 215 and 6 feet tall. Perkins, do you think just based on being around longer, it's easier to bring in a guy? Like, could Marion Grice step right in on Friday, or would that be asking too much?
Yep, he definitely could. He's highly intelligent. He picks up the offense really well, and he's been here before. He's played two games for us, so we liked his talent first and foremost, but the fact that he was here and he's been in the playbook and knows the system and understands our blocking schemes and all the above made it an easier decision to bring him back. So both those guys are ready to go, and we're going to practice this week with both of them, and either one of them could go. So if Hamilton's listening, you got to prepare for both.
Yeah, and well, I know they're infighting today. I'm not sure they'll be listening. I'm not sure if you saw the big brawl they had today.
I heard about it, yeah.
And hey, you know, your team, we had Mike Riley on the show yesterday, and he said obviously the injuries aren't great, but it's allowed guys opportunities to play more than maybe they would have. And if the injury, when guys come back, A, you'll have competition, but B, you'll have more guys set to come in. I guess the challenge with that, Brock, will be for you, if a lot of these guys start to return, some of your play, like, you're going to have to release some guys or put them on the practice roster. Is that the only fear, that you don't really have any other room to protect guys when injuries like this occur and they step up and play well, and now suddenly you have an overabundance of players?
Well, it's never a problem having too many talented football players. We're always going to keep the guys that we think are going to help us win. So it's a good problem to have if everybody's healthy and you feel confident with all of them. So at that point, you know, there'll be hard decisions to make, and Jason and I'll sit down and we'll come to an agreement on which guys we think are going to be more beneficial to us. And always a good decision to have to make. It's a good place to be in if you're looking at two or three really good football players that you know you can win with and saying, okay, which one or which two or three do you want? That's a good spot to be in, as opposed to where we're at now, where we're you know, looking for players, and some of the guys that are key cogs, not only on the field but leadership-wise, are out for a significant amount of time.
Canadian depth in the CFL is massive, strictly because I think it's safe to say if you have a lot of injuries to your imports, internationals, there's a lot more of them available that could come in and play, whereas to find quality Canadians, that's the difficulty. And, you know, you've been able to do that so far at the Will linebacker position, but is that the one concern if you start to have more injuries to your Canadians, that eventually that talent pool will dry up maybe quicker than the international?
Yeah, that's always a concern. It's the Canadian Football League, and you can't have too many of those guys, so it's certainly a concern if you start getting decimated at the national position. But on that note, international, it's not as easy as it may seem. I mean, 90 players are on 32 NFL teams, so when you do the math, there's a lot of good football players that aren't available right now. So when you lose an international player, it's not like you can just dial up and find a guy right away, because even if they're cut in September, most of those players say, I'm going to play the Tuesday workout circle in the NFL and exhaust those opportunities for another month or two. So, you know, right now with 32 teams in the NFL carrying all 90 and 9 CFL teams 6 games into the season dealing with their own injuries, plus arena football, usually we can get those guys, but there's a lot of good football players who are already under contract other places. So it becomes a challenge, which is fun. I mean, I'm a scout by nature, so that's something I enjoy, is kicking the bushes and seeing what we can find. But it's difficult no matter whether they're national or international. But you're exactly right. Nationals are much more harder to find when you start getting hurt at those positions.
Brock, fans have become much more interested in salary caps just because the way pro sports go. And you know, in the NHL, it's based on a per-day basis because they're playing every second day and sometimes back-to-back. In the CFL, if you wait until Wednesday or Thursday to move guys on or off the roster, how much of it, like, is it a per-day basis? Is the season broke up for salary over 180 days just as a round number, and then each day on the roster is how it counts, or does it go on a week basis in the CFL?
It's a week basis, so it's whoever you have to declare 24 hours before kickoff. So those are the players that, if they're either one game injured, practice roster, or active, count towards the cap, and then the sixth game doesn't, but that's an internal budget hit, like you were saying before. And then overall, it's a, we call it a soft cap. So NFL, NHL, and I don't know as much about the NHL, but I know NFL, it's a hard cap, meaning every day you have to be under the cap or else you can get penalized, and it's up to the commissioner's discretion.
Okay.
CFL is different. It's a soft cap, and what that means is they look at it after the entire season, and they account for everything, and then they'll come in and audit and pull out what they don't want to count towards the cap, whether that be food for the players, travel, what have you. So ours is a little different. You budget for it and you plan ahead and make sure that when they do that, you're under it, but it's game to game. So 18, and then that total amount counts at the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah. So I understand that. And the NHL is a hard cap on a day-to-day basis. You got to be by, which I'm assuming internally you know what the salary cap is. And then you're obviously you're monitoring that. Who's kind of your right-hand man or woman when it comes to, like, do you have a capologist for the Eskimos?
No, we don't have a capologist per se. Chris Hagerman and I sit down daily. So Chris Hagerman is the one that I sit with, and we go over numbers. Every move we make, we account for and make decisions based on that. So he's one that I bounce things off of, absolutely.
Well, Brock, best of luck filling the roster, and hopefully your injury bug stops biting.
I hope so. Like I said, if someone has a voodoo out there, knock it off, or we're about ready to pull a major league and sacrifice a live chicken or something.
Yeah, get Joe Boo out there. Why not?
Exactly.
Got to do something. All right, appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Brock Sunderland, GM of the Edmonton Eskimos.